following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
If you brought a Bible, go ahead and open it up to Matthew chapter 6. I keep wanting to say Mark because we're in Mark on the weekends, but here we are in Matthew tonight. And Sermon on the Mount. And man, I've probably been taught through the Sermon on the Mount, probably 8 to 12 times in my pastoral, phase of life. And I love it when we come to this portion tonight. We're going to talk about when you pray. How many of you have prayed recently? Yeah? All right. Well, let's examine that tonight. I'm going to just read to you from verse 5 down to verse 8, and then we'll finish the rest of it. One of the most famous prayers in all of the world is right here in this section. We call it the Lord's Prayer. It's more like the disciples' prayer or the sample prayer for all disciples. How many of you memorized we called it just the Our Father. How many of you memorized the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer? Got a star on a memory chart somewhere, and good for you. Give somebody a high five over that too. But Matthew chapter 6 says this, when you pray, there's an assumption we will pray. Do not be like the hypocrites. Did you know there are still hypocrites around? There are still actors around. But when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. It's their whole agenda just to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you that they have their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling. I love this translation that says that. Don't just keep on blah, 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 babbling. He says, say something. Don't babble like the pagans with vain repetition, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Father, that is such a relief. We are never telling you anything new. You know our need better than we know our need. And Father, sometimes we actually ask you for what we need instead of just what we want. But tonight, Lord, would you take us deeper in this wonderful privilege of prayer and the practice of it? Teach us tonight, Father, from your word. And Lord, I pray that you would hear from some tonight, maybe the first prayer they will ever, ever have prayed to you. The prayer of desire to be saved. The prayer that says, God, here I am, have mercy on me and save my broken life. May that happen tonight here as well in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're still looking at the Christian basics here in Matthew chapter 6. Giving and praying and fasting. We'll get to the fasting next week. But all standard practices, all three are standard practices for believers, or at least they should be. Maybe for some, they're not as standard as they should be, but Jesus expected that we would all give, we would all pray, and we would fast. That there would be times when we would show compassion for the poor, and we'd give. Maybe out of our abundance, maybe even out of the last little bit that we have, because God touches our heart and he says, help that poor person. And maybe some of that will happen even here tonight. You'll see somebody among us that has a need, and you'll meet that need out of the goodness of your heart. We're talking tonight about our conversation with God. That's at the core of our life with him is our conversation with him. And next week, we'll get to our control over our own bodily appetites. How many of you love food? Does anybody love food? How many of you love the taco truck tonight? Some of you maybe brought your own because you didn't want tacos tonight. But, maybe since next week we're talking about fasting, let's just all fast next week. No taco truck. Yeah, I didn't think you would go over. I didn't think that would go over with you. There would probably be a taco truck or some food here. But last week I reminded you that our giving, and this is very important, our giving, whether it's a penny, a shilling, a mite, whatever it is, whatever currency it is, our giving has nothing at all to do with our salvation. In terms of giving money, The only giving that matters when it comes to our salvation is giving my life away to Jesus, surrendering my will to him. Nobody can pay their way into heaven because Jesus did what? He already paid it. It's paid in full. You just need to receive it and get over ourselves, get over yourself, get over myself, and bring my broken self to him. That was last week. This week is different in this issue of praying. There's nothing that's more basic to the Christian life than the discipline and the privilege of talking to Almighty God and knowing you don't have to wait in line to do it. He's waiting to hear from you. So this week, it's different in terms of the necessity. Prayer is unquestionably a part of our salvation. There are things we have to believe in order to be saved. And there's something we need to say if we're going to be saved. We have to ask for and receive the gift of salvation. I want to read this to you. This comes from Romans chapter 10. You can turn there if you've got your Bible. Listen carefully. Jot it down on your sleeve or maybe on the back of the shirt of the person in front of you who you want to remember where to find it. But in Romans chapter 10, listen to this. From verse 9 down to verse 13, Paul says this. If you openly declare, that's you say something. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved, as the scripture tells us. And I love this, how Paul just goes right to the Bible. He says, I'm not making this up. Let me tell you where it says this in scripture. It says, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. And then he says, Jew and Gentile, they're all the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. And then he quotes again from the Old Testament, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You have to believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead. And you have to call upon him with your own lips and with your own lungs. And call upon him and you will be saved. So prayer is that final step through the door and into the kingdom of God. There's one door. The Bible tells us that Jesus is standing at the door knocking. And we say that's the door of our heart. Really, in the context of that statement, it was the door of a church where Jesus was saying, hey, would you let me in or maybe let me back in? But he's standing at the door of your heart too, saying, would you believe in me and call upon me and I'll rush in and save you. So prayer is that final step. We don't need to come screaming and crying. You can. I mean, if that's where you are, you're that desperate, you can. But we need to open our mouths and confess, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sin. I believe you were buried. I believe you rose from the dead. And we have to have that confidence, confessing that and then calling out, Lord, be merciful to me. I receive you as my Lord and Savior, or something like that. For many people, their sinner's prayer is, God, save me, or help me, or forgive me. It's as short as can be, but God hears that. I've told you before, probably too many times, and you could probably mouth this story along with me. I've told it enough here. The night in the summer of 1970, when my friends Paul and Mark and I were hitchhiking back to Southern California from Sequoia, then Yosemite, and we were on the side of Highway 1 in Gorda, California, and it was near Big Sur. We just had to, you know, to qualify as hippies, you had to at least hitchhike through Big Sur. And so we're hitchhiking down, and I made the stupid decision to take LSD again. I knew it was destroying me, but I gave in at that moment, late in that night. And I asked my friend, give me a hit, and he gave me one. And 2 hours later, we're stuck on the side. Nobody's coming by. It must have been about 2 a.m. And it had no effect on me. I said, hey, give me another one. That must have been a dud. Thinking, what'd you give me, an aspirin there? But he gave me another one. And as soon as I took the second one, the first one, I say it like this, it hit me like a freight train. My mind, I thought I was about to lose my mind that night. I didn't want to look up to the heavens and call out to Jesus or God or Yahweh or Lord. So I looked up. And I said, Charlie, help me. Charlie? How many of you talk to God and call him Charlie? I said, you know what? I know it was stupid. I'm sure that the angels laughed as well. But God said, I'll take that call. That's for me. And he didn't save me that night. I didn't call out for save my soul. It was just get me out of this mess that I have just medicated myself into. But it was about 4 months later, he brought me to the place where I cried out to him and said, Jesus, save me and take what's left of my life. So prayer is big. It's really big. And so is giving and so is fasting. And next week we'll get into the fasting part. But tonight let's talk about prayer, which is nothing more than let's talk about talking to God. Like so many of you, and if not most of you, if not all of you, have begun a conversation with God. And let's talk about breaking our silence with God if it's come to that point in your life. Or that you talk to God as often as you talk to the IRS person in your life. Now, if that's the case, you need to talk to God a little bit more than that. So let's talk about what it means to be talking with God. And we're going to use the same questions we did last week when we talked about giving. Those questions that we all had to somehow work into our essays when we were called to write an essay in school, the who, what, when, where, and why, how. And tonight, the who, what, when, where, why, how of prayer. So who is Jesus talking to here? Well, obviously he's talking to all of us, anybody that wants a relationship to God. He's talking to every single one of us. Me and you are the who of prayer, all disciples. He says, don't go silent on me. Speak up, speak up. The second thing, and we'll do these quickly, is what? Well, the what that he's speaking of is prayer. And it's the core of our conversation with God. I look at prayer this way. There's many other things that are true about prayer. But I started talking to God as a friend on November 9th in 1970. And that conversation has been open since then. I want to beg you, please begin to look at prayer as nothing more than an open conversation with God. Sometimes it will be passionate. Sometimes it will be mild. Sometimes you'll be singing your prayer or your praise to him. But don't ever stop that conversation. Keep that conversation open all the time. And remember, like I said at the very beginning, God's never too busy to hear from you. How many of you have either tried or succeeded at trying to call in to a talk radio program? Let me see the hands of those who have tried. Let me see the hands of those who have succeeded. You actually got through. How many of you had to call more than one time because the line was busy? Remember, and I've called in, I think I got successfully through about three or four times. The first time was to Rich Bueller. Anybody remember Rich Bueller? He was from Talk from the Heart out of K-Bright. It came off of Catalina Island. And I was a pastor by that time. And I was talking to people in front of them all the time. And here I am standing in a phone booth. Do you remember phone booths? It was in Long Beach. And I just wanted to call in response to a question that he had. And my heart started beating so fast. And I was so nervous. And he could tell it. He said, hey, Pastor Bill, just take a breath. And I took a breath. But if you've ever tried to call into a really popular radio program, you know that maybe the first few times you'll get the busy signal. And they'll tell you, hey, if you want to get through, wait till somebody has just hung up and then call. Better yet, if you know the rhythm of the show host, when you can tell, oh, he or she is about to shut this person down, not shut them down, but conclude the call, then start calling right then and you might get through. But you don't have to wait in line when you talk to God. You don't hope that he has time for you. He's waiting to hear from you. Don't ask me how he can listen to a billion people at a time, but he's got that all sorted out and he can give you personal attention. So keep the line open. I think of this whenever I talk about that open conversation with God. It was, I think, February the 4th, and I think it was 2003, if I'm correct, on when our second granddaughter, Mia, was born. She'll be 20 here this coming February 4th. And I think that's the right date. Whatever date it was that she was that she was born, Starlin and I jumped in my truck. And we started driving from Fountain Valley, California, to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And we went on this 793.2-mile drive that took us about 10 to 11 hours. We had one very strategic stop with a man in uniform in Flagstaff that didn't last too long, but I went away with a nice little prize from him. It was an expensive prize, not for him, but for me. But Starlin and I talked all the way there. We just talked not all the time, but all the way. We would chat for a while. We'd listen to music for a while. We'd go back to talking for a while. We'd pull over and get food. But the conversation just kept going. And I told her as we were driving, Starlin, this is what prayer is. It's an open conversation with God that is never supposed to stop. There might be lulls in the conversation, but don't stop talking to him. So that's what it is. When and the where do we pray? Well, you probably know the answer to that. When do you pray? Anybody loudly out there? Anytime. And where do you pray? Anywhere. You could even go further than that if you listen to these two verses and say, we're supposed to pray all the time and everywhere. Not just anywhere and anytime, but all the time and everywhere we go, keep that conversation open. Here's what Paul said, two times. First one is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Second one is Philippians 4. Listen carefully. Paul says, as he's wrapping up his letter to the Thessalonians, or Thessalonians, however you like to pronounce that, he said, rejoice always. He said, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, and don't quench the Spirit. Some people like to separate the don't quench the Spirit part of that. But I think if you're in conversation with God in any time, you're praying always, you're rejoicing always, you're giving thanks in all circumstances, you're not quenching the Spirit, because the Spirit wants to meet you in all circumstances, to meet you, to say something, to do something in your life, and we get to cooperate with God. So he says, always. And that doesn't mean that, like Jesus cautioned, it's not that we're babbling all day long. It just means don't ever give up on prayer. Don't say, oh, well, I tried praying. I know people that have said, oh, I tried praying, it doesn't work. God doesn't really answer. You keep him on the line and re-engage with him. If you've stopped, tonight's the time to re-engage with him in that conversation. Philippians 4 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. So in all things and in all places, he says, tell God what you need and then thank him for what he's done. Let me tell you something. Just a little hint here. Start thanking him before you even see the answer. If you're asking him in all things where you're deciding, I'm not going to worry, instead I'm going to pray, after you've prayed, tell God what you need, or as you're praying, tell him what you need, and then immediately begin to say, thank you, Father, that you heard me, and I know you're on it. I know you're taking care of it even now. So pray always and everywhere about everything. But Jesus' focus, his main focus in this section of the Sermon on the Mount in prayer is the same as it was in giving. And it starts with the same kind of focus. It starts on a negative note, how we're not supposed to pray, how we're not supposed to address God when we're thinking about these things. So it's more about the motivation and the execution than it even is about the when and the where. It's about the why and the how. So why do we pray? I'll tell you, I think more than anything, I pray to deepen my relationship and my partnership with God. Oh, yes, there's requests. I'm asking him for healing. And by the way, I meant to share this with you at the very beginning. Continue to pray for Pastor Fausto. We got some wrong information, and maybe it was, you know, one of those just typos in the text. He has not lost a kidney. He still has both kidneys. That's great to hear. His pancreas was really impacted to begin with, and that's caused the problems with the liver and the kidneys. A doctor stepped into the room while I was visiting him today with his son Samuel, and he was great. This doc it was a believing doctor. In other words, not just believing in doctoring, but believing in God. He said, "Let's keep up the prayers going for Fausto," and he gave us some real insight into what's going on. And so he's still in a induced coma, but we need to pray for him. And I'm going to do that right now before we get to the end. So, Father, I lift our brother up to you in Jesus' name out there right now in Upland, in that hospital room on that third floor. Lord, you're right there with him. And God, I believe at this moment you are laying your hand upon him, and your hand is the hand that heals, Lord. So would you adjust what's wrong in the pancreas, Father, and those areas of the pancreas that have died, so to speak, would you speak life back into that, and to his kidneys, Lord, and his liver. And I pray for your peace over the whole family, Father, right now. And we trust him into your hands in Jesus' name. And everybody said, please jot down his name and continue to be praying for him. but I pray to deepen my relationship with God and my partnership with God. Think about your relationship with God like any other relationship that you have. If there's not communication, then the relationship is not doing well. If there's not talking and maybe whispering and maybe laughter and maybe sometimes raised voices, but if we're not communicating with one another, we don't have much of a relationship. No relationship can thrive if we stop relating to one another. How we're feeling and what are we going to do about this and where do we want to go for vacation? And man, you look beautiful tonight, Joy. And oh man, Bill, she calls me Pastor Bill. No, she doesn't call me Pastor Bill. But you know, we talk to one another. And we could probably talk to more, to one another more. There's times when even our relationship goes a little bit quieter than it should. Anyway, if we go silent, whether it's with our spouse or our friends or our teammates or our coworkers or our parents or our children, when the conversation stops, the relationship cools down and it's time to gear up the speaking again. And in the case of our relationship with God, it's time to have a talk with Him again. And pour out your heart to Him and tell Him exactly how you feel. If you've read the Psalms, and I really encourage you, go through the Psalms on a regular basis. You'll see the ups and downs, a roller coaster of conversation between God and man, where the writer pours out their disappointment and even accuses God of abandoning them at times. And God can handle that. But don't you love the ones where it's just this overflow of God, you're more wonderful than I could ever explain or ever articulate. When the conversation stops, when it cools down, it's time to gear it up again. Keep the conversation going. Little tiny bit of advice if you have small children or grandchildren. Best advice I think I ever got, along with all the biblical advice, was simple advice. Came at a pastor's conference when our first daughter, Bethany, was under 2 years old. And this pastor, the theme of the conference that November was just about families and ministry. And he said, it was Jack Hayford, and he said, you have to keep your children talking to you, which means you have to keep listening to them, which means sometimes you're going to have to hear stuff that doesn't make any sense when they're little. And sometimes if they feel like their world has melted down because somebody stole their Twinkie at lunch. And that's a big deal to them, and it better be big to you if you want the conversation to stay alive. So just as with children and parents, with the children of God and our Father in heaven, we have to keep the conversation going. When it comes to our relationship with God, I believe He has that same agenda. He's always speaking to us, isn't He? Does He speak to you in His Word? Does He speak to you in your heart? Does He, like Romans says in chapter 1, does He speak to you when you look at the beauty of creation? You can call it nature if you want to, as long as you know that it's that nature that reflects the nature of God and it says something to us. So since He's speaking to us all the time, let's make sure that we're speaking back to Him and we're listening to His still small voice and sometimes lifting up our still small voice when we're in deep need. But the question today is, are we using our voice to respond to His voice? A couple of questions for you. How long has it been since you really took a good chunk of time just to talk with God? You don't have to be quiet and huddled in a corner. You can be walking on the beach. I walk on the beach. I walk in the park. I walk around this town and I'm talking to God. Not nonstop, but when I get out and I get moving, it's just the conversation seems to flow. Joy and I, our relationship began in 1972 in Long Beach. We'd close up the coffee shop we worked at, and we'd go for a walk. And we talked all the way while we're picking other people's flowers out of their front yard as we're walking through Long Beach. Maybe yours, if you ever saw your rose bush had been invaded, it might have been Joy. No, it might have been me. It was more likely me. But the conversation went, and we fell in love with each other. And I'm so thankful for those walks and those talks. But how long has it been since you just spent some quiet time with God, listening to His heart and speaking to Him? Second question, do you bring God more than a daily wish list in prayer? Now, it's fine. Bring Him what you'd like Him to do, but spend some time in praise as well. Third question, is it always on the run? Or do you have any time where you just linger and it's just you and him. And maybe it is in a corner of your backyard, or maybe it's sitting out in the wetlands somewhere, and you're just spending time with the lover of your soul. So how do we pray? Well, Jesus gives us both the basics, and he gives us a sample. Look at verse 5 there again. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. And truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. In other words, they got all they're going to get. If they were praying to be seen and to be heard by you, well, you've seen them and you've heard them. And if that was their motivation, they've got all they're going to get for that session of prayer. God has nothing else to give them because they came to be seen by people. They have their reward in full. But he says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret, he will reward you. And I love the translation that says, he's going to reward you openly. He's not going to be shy about the way that he blesses you. And I'm not talking about stuff, but the reward of the downpour of his grace and his pleasure upon us because you've just moved in to spend time with him. And he says, and when you pray, here's another don't keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Those people are not praying just to be heard by others, but they think, oh, I got to fill the air with chatter, 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 chatter. Don't just keep on going. State the point, the need, and let it rest in the hands of God. He said, don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So again, he starts with the negative, and he says, don't be like actors. Don't be hypocrites that just want to be seen by men, just want to be heard by men. They come with their trumpets and their cymbals, and they're crashing their cymbals as they would come into a public place. And Jesus says, they've got everything they want. They just want to be heard and judged as holy by everyone. Don't babble like them. Don't come in crashing like them and going on and on and on and on. But Jesus says, pray in secret. Now, did he mean don't ever pray with another person? Or don't ever pray in a prayer group? Well, of course not, because he did that too. But the core of our prayer life, it has to be the time that we spend alone with God, locked in with him, walking down the road with him. Pray in secret, and your Father who sees in secret, he's going to reward you for that. That would be the bulk of our prayer time. When it's just us and God, it's us and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now that's a prayer group, right? And we're doing the talking and they're doing the talking as well. So just, he says, don't make it like the hypocrites. And what were the hypocrites all about? They were putting on a what? A show. They're just putting on a show. They were doing what they were doing just to be seen, just to put on a show. All three Christian basics. And this is sad, but it's true. All three of these, whether it's giving, praying, or fasting, they can be turned into a show. Giving so people will see, oh, look what you gave. Put his name on the plaque. Or put her name in the front window. Or praying to be heard or admired or elevated. Oh, she prays with such beauty and such passion. But if she's praying to be heard or he's praying just to be noticed, you've got what you were after. Or fasting to show how holy and humble you are. We'll get to that one next week. I won't get into it. It's almost funny the way that Jesus describes the people that fasted to be seen by others. But it doesn't stop there, does it? I'm not going to spend long on this. Any point of Christian service can be done for the wrong reason. What I'm doing right now, teaching, preaching, leading a church, it can be done for the wrong reason. Whether you're preaching or evangelizing or even singing, you can do it for a show. You can turn it into a show. In fact, I hear that term all the time now in Christian music today. A show. We're doing 50 shows this year. And I don't want to harp on this, but boy, I wish there was a better word than that for what Christians do with their music. Oh, it's pleasant and it's beautiful. But it's not a show. It's a sacrifice. It's an offering before God, if it's for his glory. Now, if there's any Christian musician or artist of any kind that does it for the show, what does Jesus say about that? Then you've got what you came for. Or if they do it for a paycheck, well, you've got what you came for. If any pastor, preacher, teacher, evangelist, prophet, whatever office in any church, deacon, do it for the show or for the check, well, then they have what they've come for and shouldn't expect anything more when they step into heaven. What was a concert at one time, and maybe that wasn't even the right word for it. These days has been referred to more often than any other term. It's called a show, which is very interesting. And I think it's the New Living Translation of Amos chapter 5. How many of you like John from Switchfoot? John Foreman. Anybody like John Foreman? If you like John Foreman, you've heard this song. Or this is the passage the song came from. Amos 5 says this, God speaking through the prophet, I hate all your show and pretense, the hypocrisy of your religious festivals and solemn assemblies. I won't accept your burnt offerings and your grain offerings. I won't even notice all your choice peace offerings. Away with your noisy hymns of praise. I won't listen to the music of your harps. Instead, I want to see a mighty flood of justice, an endless river of righteous living. That convicts me. It really does. That I want to offer to God a holy sacrifice and a humble sacrifice. Our business as servants of Jesus is not show business. No matter what we do, our business is his business. And Jesus, who set the standard for us, came not to be a celebrity, but to be a servant, not to see his name in lights, but to serve the least among us. We're not performers, whatever we do in service to Jesus. We are to be, as Paul would say in Romans chapter 12, living sacrifices. So maybe it can be changed. Instead of, we had 50 shows this year, we had 50 sacrifices where we laid down our lives and gave beyond what we came planning to give in whatever we do. So Jesus makes it so clear, prayer to be heard and to be seen by God needs to start with humility. We're not performers. We're coming to him like servants, and our prayer life at that point becomes a sweet sacrifice and an offering. Well, then Jesus, we'll spend the rest of our time on this and not too long. Jesus then gives a sample prayer, and this is what he says. And you prayed this, and you know what? I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation, so it probably is not how you memorized it, but it goes like this. Jesus said, this then is how. Here's the how. How you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then Jesus makes one comment on one point in that sample prayer. He speaks about forgiveness. Why didn't he make comment on all the points in that prayer? They're all powerful points, but I think the reason is because they're obvious. They're very, very simple. Why didn't he explain all the whole prayer? It's simple. He says, start with adoration. We know what adoration is. And as Christians, we're given to that, to tell God, you're so wonderful, Lord. You're beautiful in all your ways. When he says, ask God to bring his rulership over this broken world. We ask that all the time. Lord, this is broken and that's broken. And, you know, I'm looking down here at Liddell and Larry and how they're pouring their hearts out to stop human trafficking. God, our world is broken. Please stop that and let your kingdom come there. We understand those kind of prayers. When he says, ask for your daily bread, we do that. Lord, thank you for our food. Joy and I usually stop and we say, Lord, thank you for feeding us today. This makes it more personal. I love to say it that way. God, thank you for the food you've given us, for feeding us. And we all pray, Lord, help me out of temptation. Pray your way through those times of temptation. Don't lead me off into the darkness, Lord, but lead me in a better way. Lead me in a better way. We understand all of that, but that little bit about forgiveness. Let me spend the rest of our time, which, like I said, is very short. I keep saying that, and every time I say it, I make it a little longer, don't I? This little bit about me forgiving you, or you forgiving me. Not that I would ever do anything that ever needs forgiveness. Yes, because I'm just like you. He said, if you forgive, comes out of the prayer, and he makes this one comment. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Ow! Did he mean that? Well, absolutely he meant it. But what did he mean by that? Does that mean if I got saved in November of 1970 and I today in 2022 refuse to forgive someone who's wronged me, that I've just lost my salvation? I don't think that means that at all. I'll tell you what I simply believe that it means. If I forgive to pass on to you the very first thing that God gave me, which was mercy and forgiveness. And if I choose not to forgive you, or you choose not to forgive me, then there's a blockage in my relationship with God that God seems to be saying, we're not going to go any further until we deal with that. Let's deal with that right now. I've always illustrated this way. If one of my children comes to me when they were little, they come to me and they want something, and I know something's wrong between them and their sibling, I simply going to say, before I give you that, before we talk about that, we need to talk about this between you and your brother or you and your sister. Because now you don't just have a problem between them, that me as the daddy is saying, you've got a problem with me because I'm the father of this family and I want you to love each other. And God is just as insistent that we love each other. Didn't he make that a big deal? He's just as determined that we love each other as we are that we love him. And if there's a blockage in my relationship with another person, then something's blocked in my relationship with God. And if it's starting to feel cold, ask yourself, is there someone whom I need to let go from my judgment and forgive them like God in Christ has forgiven me? And I would bet that you would so quickly, and maybe tell them too. I made a phone call very recently to someone I haven't heard from for close to a year and a half, and I've tried several times, and I just said, hey, if I've done anything that's maybe made it the line go dead between us, please forgive me, but let's talk. How many of you would agree you can't afford to lose any more friends? Anybody believe that? I can't afford to lose any more friends. I need more friends, not less friends. And so Jesus says, that's where it starts. Or that's what will stop up even your relationship with me. Forgive. Why? Because you've been forgiven. Pass on the first thing that God gave you. So I want to ask you a question as we close. Have you begun to pass on the gift of forgiveness you got from Jesus to people who have asked for it from you? Or maybe they haven't even asked for it. God extended his mercy before I asked for it. His mercy to other people in our lives. Ask him to help you make that step and maybe take the first step in that reunion. More importantly, though, as we close, I'm going to ask the band to come on back up right now. More importantly, have you, maybe there's somebody here tonight, you haven't even begun your conversation with God, your relationship with him. Have you asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins? Have you identified it for exactly what it was and stopped making excuses? Say, well, God, you just don't understand. This is just who I am. Well, he knows who you are and he loves you just like you are right now, but he loves you so much he wants to bring you out of that bondage and out of that darkness. So have you asked him to forgive you? Have you asked him for that mercy? Have you believed in your heart that Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and rose again? And then have you opened your mouth, and I always put it like this, at least as loud as a whisper? Can you pray in the silence of your mind? I guess you can, but if you got a voice, use it. Talk to God. He'd love to hear your voice. I'd love to hear my children's voices. Have you asked him and said, Jesus, save me. Be merciful to me. And are you ready to say that tonight? If you haven't said it up to this point, why not now? Why not right this moment? on this night, tonight? Are you ready to call on the Lord and be saved? Are you ready to not just believe that Jesus did what he did for you, but thank him with your own voice? I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to pray with me. And I'll just pray a simple prayer. If you've been here for a while, you've probably heard me say something like this. It's not scripted. It comes out a little different every time. But if you need a renewal in your relationship with Jesus, then join me in this prayer as well. And pray it, as I just said, at least as loud as a what? As a whisper. Move your lips, move your tongue, let that air cross those vocal cords and say this to God. And pray out loud and say, Father in heaven, I thank you so much for being so merciful. And I thank you that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I thank you that after he was buried, he rose from the dead and is alive forever. I have sinned, and I ask you right now to please forgive me. I want to be right with you. I want to go to heaven when I die, but I want to live for you here, free of the darkness and healed from the brokenness and living as a light for you in this dark world. Jesus, I give you the rest of my life. It's yours. And it's in your great name that I come and I receive your love. Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand together. And if you this evening just now prayed from your heart to receive God's love and salvation, I want to tell you something. The trash has been taken out. The sins are forgiven. It was all loaded up on Jesus like we talked about last Sunday. It's gone. It's gone. The penalty has been paid. The power of sin is broken. And you're free now to walk with him, to live in him, and to tell a needy world all about him. And we got a prayer tent right back there at the back. If you would turn around, don't turn around now, but if you turn around and look at the back, it's the last tent on the left-hand side, and they would love to pray with you, or the Christian that you're standing by, maybe the one you came with, that said, hey, would you go with me tonight? And here you are, and you came with them. Run to them. In fact, you could do it right now and say, hey, I just prayed, gave my life to Jesus. They're going to celebrate with you. Grace and peace to you. He's alive. Amen. Let's sing.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.